How many of you know the Bible says in Timothy that God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? A sound mind. So a believer doesn't have to live in this world and be dominated or led by what? Fear. We don't have to live life afraid. Come on, when it comes to our marriages and our dating relationships, it comes to our money and to our family. Come on, in this world, there is tribulation. What did James say? Come on. James chapter 1, in this life you will have tribulation, but he said what? Be of good cheer, for what? You have overcome the world. Well, you said, well, what about James? Well, James says, count it all joy when you, what? Fall on the various trials, James chapter 1, knowing what? That the testing of your faith produces what? Patience or perseverance. Amen. So God is giving you faith, come on. He's giving you Romans 12:3, the measure of faith, amen. And with that measure, come on, we can take that measure as a believer and we could live by faith in God and overcome just exactly as he said that we could do, amen, in this life, amen. Paul said it like this. He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And when we begin in this life as believers, we begin to recognize and we change the scales from, okay, I'm going to elevate, I must decrease, he must increase, and elevate and talk, come on, bold confession of faith in God. I take application of the word of God, and in this life, I see fear, I may even feel it in my body, come on, I may be in the presence of it, but it does not have to, what, overcome me and overtake me, because God has given me a what? A sound mind, come on. He's given me power, he's given me his love. So I don't, come on, when things happen in life, and you go, how is this going to work? How many of you know you don't have to step over into the realm of reasoning and doubt and be like, God, you know? No, you don't have to do that. Come on, as children of God, as Christ followers, you can step right into, you know what? God's not giving me fear. I'm a child of God. You know what? I don't know how this thing is going to get paid. I don't know how this relationship's going to go. But Lord, I commit it to your hands as a child of God, and you're going to work it out. How many of you know the Bible says in the book of James that we're to be doers of the word and not just what? Hearers only. But also, we have a comforter, an advocate, a helper called the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit is the one that comes alongside, come on, to help you, God, the Holy Spirit. And he, according to the scriptures, is with us now. Amen. And so you're the doer. Come on. You open your mouth as a believer. You say, I am not going to fear. Come on. That's a bold confession of faith in the word of God and what God said, which means I have a bold confidence. I have a confident expectation that when God says, come on, I don't have to fear, that's exactly what that means. I don't have to fear. Amen. Even though it's right in your face. Come on. I mean, you know, Paul and Silas were what? They were jailed and in prison in the book of Acts. But they were beaten, come on, for preaching the gospel, for living out the gospel. Amen. Being a demonstrator. They went out into the community and they preached. Come on. In the courtyards. They went everywhere preaching and teaching. Amen. How many know as believers, that's what we do. We go into our communities. You go into your jobs. You go into the workplace. Do you understand that? You say, well, duh. We do that. But how many of you know as a child of God, when you became born again, there's light on the inside of you. There's the very life and nature and DNA of God on the inside of you. Amen. And so when you're in communities and you're out and about, you may not be speaking a whole lot, but how many of you know there's light radiating from you? Amen. It's the light of God. It's the love of God. This is what the Bible says. Amen. And how many of you know light expels darkness? You can walk into a very college, you know, coffee shop or college campus, amen, and God just in you, and you're just living your life. But how many know when you walk into places, you are light? Come on. And so light expels darkness. And how many know when fear is present and you show up, the light of God and the love of God that's in you expels, come on, that fear and that darkness that is in another person that's near to you. How many know growing up, I was a student, minister and youth pastor and children's. I'm 40 years old. I've been in student ministries my whole life. And this is what I've seen, and particularly among a lot of younger people. Come on, they come from blended families and single parent homes where grandma and grandpa are raising, you know, and maybe a single mother. And I've dealt with this for years. And one thing that I see, come on, is a fear of not understanding or not knowing what is going to happen in this situation. Come on, there's so many situations that were explained to me. And so in this series, Fear Not, we've talked about, come on, the fear of following God's plan of your life. We talked about the fear of intimacy. Come on, entering, knocking on the door and going through the door in prayer and in times with the Word of God. Come on, seeking God, being intimate with God and with others. How many know when you're intimate with God and others, you can step into any arena, into a coffee shop, like I said, or anywhere, and how many know that light in you, come on, people are going to see that. And they're going to go, there's something different about you. And that smile is just liberating. Why do you smile so much? Do you ever have that question? People just look at you, why are you smiling so much? And I'm like, look, guys, I have a lot going on in my life, too. I got college going on. I'm a youth pastor at this point in time. I'm counseling, working with a lot of families, and I'm not married yet, and I'm just going through life, and I have desires, too. But the fear of the unknown. How many know the fear of what's going to happen, the fear of the future? You know, God, what is your plan for my life? This is what we're covering and have covered under the context of this message, Fear Not. Amen. And so that's what we're going into, is this when a generation is crying out to God and going, God, what do I do? Come on, I need a word. I need a sure word. People just don't need for you to, I'm not up here this morning just to stand and waste time. How many know there's a purpose behind what we do? Everything we do, from sound, there's a purpose. How many know from music to light to the lighting, to the way we do things, there's a purpose behind everything. The same way that God, when he created you for purpose. And that's to be salt and light to your generation. Come on, maybe you're not preaching. Come on, bro, you need to receive Jesus right now. But your smile and that light in you and the kindness and the love of God, come on, coming from your life and radiating from your life, it could change. A smile could change, come on, somebody who's in darkness and in fear, and it moves them over into light, and it brings a calm. It brings a patience. Amen. Do you follow where I'm going this morning? See, a lot of times we think fear is if I'm standing off the edge of a cliff and I'm right there on the edge. Come on, has anybody in here ever bungee jumped before? Has anybody ever ziplined before? Come on, we got some zipliners. Anybody ever been in an airplane before? How many of you know when you step on, you know, you step to the edge or you're ziplining? I mean, there's that initial like heartbeat. You're just like, okay, I'm feeling this. But how many of you know when you get to the point where you zip line so much, you just get in your harness, it's no big deal, and you go in Gatlinburg and you just zip line through a 700-yard canyon, and it's like nothing to you. Come on, those of you that are flying, you get on an airplane, and it's like no big deal to you. I've done this 100 times before. Some of you, if you've been on a long flight and overseas where you've done like 18, 19, 20, 22 hours of flight and many exchanges, how many of you know there's an opportunity to give way to worry. Am I going to hit my connect flight? Am I going to be delayed? Come on. We were sitting in New York City earlier in May, and we had a 10-hour delay. At the end of the 10-hour delay, you know what they did? They canceled our flight. So they made us wait 10 hours, come on, at Liberty, New York, was it New York Liberty Airport, and they made us sit for 10 hours, and then they canceled our flight. Come on. So, you know, you have this in practicality with this message, Fear Not. There's many different examples and ways that you can go. But the bottom line is, God doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to take care. He wants you, 1 Peter 5:7, he wants you and I, as children of God, to cast all of our care upon him. Amen. The Bible says, casting the whole of your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. In other words, fear not. Amen. So in the context of Fear Not, we're going to talk about today, if you're taking notes, and you got your pens or your iPhones or whatever you're taking notes, you're a joyed people, I'm an iPhone person, but we're going to talk about the fear of change, the fear of change. We tend to be, how many know we tend to be creatures of habit, creatures of habit. We've always done it this way. We follow the same routines and habits. How many people in here, come on, I'm an interactive guy. You say, you're already annoying me. I don't want to participate, but I'm just going to come on in your world this morning, and it's going to be okay. But how many of you, show of hands or nod or blink, or however you want to communicate this morning, how many of you have driven the same way to work for many, many years? I mean, you have that path that you go. That's your route. How many people that have been on college campuses or have been students or maybe you graduated, you have your route every day to school because you know that's where there's less students, there's better parking, and even when you get out of bed late, how many of you know that you're going to get to class on time? Amen. And so we have routines. We're creatures of habit. And how many of you know for thousands of years, you know, there's many things in life that didn't improve or advance. They kind of just stayed the same. But how many of you know change is limited? Change was limited at one time in our culture. And you say, well, think about this. How about the limitation, and think about the day when you had the bag phone. Does anybody remember the cell phones when they first came out? Does anybody remember the bag phone? Does anybody remember the business called Alltel? There used to be a business in town called Alltel, and it was a bag phone. My father had one of these. His phone, his cell phone was like this big, and the antenna on it was like a half a mile long. And I'm trying to figure out, do we need to put this in the back of his 8-foot bed, you know, of his Ford truck, because it's about where it seemed to fit, you know? And so you're making a phone call, and to me, it was just like, I felt like you needed to pull the car over, roll down the window, stick the antenna out the door so you can make a phone call. So what are you talking about? Change. I'm talking about being creatures of habit. You know, now we have what? With all the change and technology and things like that, what do we have? We have what? Nice cell phones. Come on, I was playing with my Echo Dot last night from our Christmas party. We had a gift exchange with our staff and those that serve in this house, and people were having fun, and it was crazy. It was hilarious, actually. Have you ever seen somebody get a gift and then somebody walk up right behind them and take their gift? Come on, we had some fun Friday night. But what was funny is I got an Echo Dot, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm with my father. I go from, come on, talking about fear of change. I go from holding a bag phone with a long antenna on it to what? To holding an Echo Dot, right? And I got my iPhone, and I'm programming the iPhone. I download the Alexa app. And how many of you know I'm sitting there talking last night to about 2 a.m. in the morning to my Echo Dot, just listening to music. I love this little thing. And I'm like, this is awesome. But it's interesting that even in that, you can go, well, I have a fear of change, so I don't know, even in a practical stance, that I want to move forward with new technology because I just don't understand it. And so you just begin to talk fear, and you begin to just, you see how this works and just the practical, I don't know how to program that thing. And I got glasses, and I need somebody to help me read, so I'm just going to throw it in the closet because I just really don't want, you know what I mean? Do you hear what I'm saying? You say you're picking. No, I'm meddling. Just a little bit. And so what I'm saying is that don't fear change in the natural or spiritually speaking. Come on. God has a plan for your life. There is a place that we are going. Amen. I don't want to see you out here with all the new cell phone technology holding that Alltel old phone. Come on. And I'm driving down the highway and I see you and your antenna, as long as it is, bumps my mirror when I drive by. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on. God wants us. Just like, it's laughable, but it's true. Sometimes we can get stuck, and this is what I like, even though there's something better. Even though we're complaining about, in this life, I need more time. And there's things and gadgets that could help us, come on, create and open up more time in our life. Fear of change. Come on, we've always done it this way. So change in our lives can be a challenge. How many of you know when you're navigating change in life, it can be a challenge. Those directions on that Echo Dot, come on. It's in Italian. I can't read Italian. They're in Japanese. Anybody ever got a device or something for Christmas and it's in a different language? And I actually got something one time where there was no English on there. And I'm sitting there trying to navigate, you know, this new piece of equipment because, you know, I'm going for the change. Come on. And so I'm like, well, where's the English? You know, and so it's funny with technology. How many of you know you can get on your phone and you can get a translating app? And how many of you know through that app, you can, come on, you can just type into little words and things like that, and it'll translate for you into words. And so that's what I did. But the thing about it is, it was such a creature of habit. I'm like, I told my wife, I said, I'm just going to take this thing and chuck it and just put it in the trash can. Like a $100 device. Has anybody ever been so agitated, come on, with change? You're just like, you know what, we're talking about change, we're being practical. You're like, I'm about to launch this thing, come on. This new phone program that won't, come on, you buy a new phone that won't program correctly. Has anybody ever dealt with SIM cards? Come on, you have a phone that has a SIM card in it, and you go back, and Verizon, or AT&T, or who you're with, says you're the issue, and you're going, no, I'm not, I done put three cards in here, right? And so you have a little bit of a challenge in context to change, and you're going, I don't know if I really feel this. How many know change in our lives, number one, can be confusing? In regards to Luke chapter 2, Mary is told that she is going to have a baby. Amen. Mary and Joseph, she's told she's going to have a baby. How many know Mary was a virgin? How many know that Mary said, this is a bit confusing. How can this be, she said, that I'm going to have a baby being that I am a virgin? Amen. And how many know she thought right there, this isn't what I expected was going to happen. How many know we're all adults here? You know how we make babies. Amen. But the Bible says the angel showed up in Luke chapter 2, and this is the Christmas story, and said, this is what's going to happen. Come on, Gabriel said, you're going to be overshadowed by the power of the Most High, and you shall have a baby, and his name is it's not going to be like it is in that time. They took the name of their father. He said, it's not going to be Joseph's name. Come on, not Joseph Jr. His name is going to be what? Jesus. And how many know if change can be confusing, how many know Mary had some thoughts? I mean, there's some things that Mary was pondering in her heart. And how many know when Jesus, in the gospel, he told the disciples, he said this. He said, I must leave, die, and 3 days rise again. How can this be? How many know the disciples were with him every day? They seen the miracle signs and wonders with Jesus. How many of you know when Jesus said, I must leave, go, and die, how many know the disciples are looking at him like, what do you mean? You're leaving us? Come on. You're going to die? How many know you're thinking this is change? This is kind of confusing right here. Change can be confusing. But here's the thing. We must be careful to recognize, is it a dead end or is it a detour? This change. Come on. Some of us are navigating life right now. We sense transition. We sense change. The thing we need to look at is are we going to stay at this point of, you know, I'm not going to cross over. Am I going to stay at a dead end? Or am I going to take the detour? How many of you know when you take a detour on campus at Western County University, where I've been many times, how many of you know you think it's a detour and you go right into traffic? It's not a detour. Well, I just go around campus. And then you realize the road doesn't run through Western's campus like it used to. How many of you remember when there used to be a road run right through the center of the university? Now everything is wrapped around. Amen. And I remember coming back from college and I'm going, what is this? You know, I used to be able to drive right through the center. Change, navigating change. Amen. So we must assume, come on, a lot of times when we're navigating change, we assume our will, come on, is his will. Right? Come on. Well, when Mary's sitting there and the angel's speaking to her, she's a little bit confused, and you go, this is how we, wait a minute. This is angel. I got some questions. This is how we have a baby. And he said, no, this is how this is going to work. So change can be confusing. See, when things don't go as planned, sometimes we assume that God has abandoned us. Has anybody ever felt that way? You're kind of like, there's some change going on. I'm navigating change. This is a little bit confusing, but I know God is with me. But at the same time, amen, I kind of feel like, is God, come on, am I hearing God? Am I hearing correctly? See, here's the thing. We want to stop or quit or give up and sit down. And what we want to do is like the back door. We want to go through the door and we want to close the door. That's the thing not to do. You don't want to close the door. Amen. So when change is going on, understand it might be a little bit confusing at first, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but how many of you know you have a helper, the Holy Spirit? Come on, he will lead you and guide you and navigate you and help you and comfort you and instruct you. So change can be confusing. How many know in Judges chapter 6, we see the story of Gideon? For sake of time, I'm just going to move forward, but we see the story of Gideon. And Gideon, come on, God spoke to Gideon and he said, hey, you, who Gideon thought he was the least, come on, guys, the least, come on, I'm short, I'm not that strong, I'm not a warrior. God said, I'm going to pick you, Gideon, to go and fight against the Midianites. And so Israel had sinned in context, and the Midianites came, come on, and they would bring their camels, and they were, come on, Israel would grow a crop, and here comes the Midianites. And they would come in with their camels, and they would come in and knock down their crop. How many of you know they had no respect for Israel? And so here's Gideon, come on, working, threshing, Come on, working the farm, in the barn, and the angel appears to him and says, hey, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon goes, who, me? I'm the least of my tribe. Me, God, a mighty man of valor? How many of you know that in context here, that as the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, Gideon questions what God says. Again, what happened? Why has this happened, Lord, that the Midianites are coming against us? Are you not our God? Are you not the God, come on, of Israel? Are you not the person who came in and led us, come on, out of Egypt, parted the sea? Come on, had a leader, Moses, you led us out. And he's just reminding God, like, where are you? And in verse 16 of Judges 6, what does God say? What does he say? God says to Gideon, he says, look, I will be with you. I'm calling you. Rise up, mighty man of valor, and let's go to war. But see, a lot of times when change happens, right, and we're going through stuff, we want to do what Gideon's getting ready to do here. What we want to do is we want to fleece God, or we want to put out signs. God, if this is you, then you're going to do this, and then I'm going to believe that you are God. How many of you know Gideon did that in Judges chapter 6 a couple of times? He began to, what we call, fleece God. And come on, how many of you know in the New Covenant, the New Testament, we're not led by that? That's not the way that God operates. That's Old Covenant. We're in a New Covenant. We're led by what? The Holy Spirit. Amen. So we see in Judges, in verse 17 of chapter 6, Gideon says, give me a sign. Come on, God, give me a sign that this is you. He's already appeared to him. He's already told him, you're a mighty man of valor. Come on. He supernaturally is visiting him. And here's the thing. He's speaking to Gideon right now. Here, to me, this is your sign right here. God is speaking to you right here. This is a supernatural sign. But how many of you know that wasn't good enough? And so Gideon, this is what God told Gideon. God told Gideon, he said, go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? Think about that for a second. Supernatural appearance. Come on, from God, from an angel, from heaven. Supernatural, speaking to you. And we're still questioning. Come on, you think about it in our lives when we're going through change. Change can be confusing. Come on, change can be awkward. Change can be challenging. Change can be uncomfortable. It can be painful. Come on, it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. But Gideon offered, in context, meat and bread and broth, and he poured it out. So he presented an offering. And the offering, the Bible says, in Judges, was consumed by fire. So God said, okay, lay out this offering. This is who I am. Put out the meat and the bread, the broth, pour it out. I'm going to show you that I'm God. Then Gideon goes on again, and we see where he's fleecing God again. If this is you, God, come on. This is what I want you to do. And Gideon places a fleece of wool. Come on. And so we have an instance where he's fleecing God again. Come on. If the floor is wet, the floor is dry. Come on, you're going to suck up all the water on the floor. And if you do that and it goes into, come on, the fleece of wool, then I'm going to believe that you're God and you're speaking to me. But yet every time, here again, it's a supernatural response. God speaking to him. Come on. But he's still, Gideon is still, in context to Judges 6, Gideon's still looking, come on, for a fleece, for a sign. Come on. When things get confusing, God, where are you? Can we just get real? God, where are you? Where are you? What are we doing? Where are we going? Come on. He's already told us in Luke 2, fear not. Have no fear. Come on. Amen. You remember the cartoon? It's the one with the dog. It's have no fear. Was it Super Dog or the cartoon where he had the cape on? Have no fear, Super Dog is here. Come on, Jesus and his supernatural ability, come on, and his cape and his Superman abilities comes right in and puts his super on our natural. Come on. And there's a lot of times we're navigating life and we're going, God, where are you? Well, he understands. Change can be confusing. But are we going to stay or are we going to move forward? Amen. And so God, understand that God no longer leads his children, come on, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, this way. You say, prove it. If you got your Bibles, look at John 16, 13 through 15. We're going to move real quickly here. It says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he what? Hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Grab this, and here's the key in verse 14. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it what? Known to you. So when you're navigating change, here's the Holy Spirit who will make things known to you, come on, because he is a messenger. He's sent to help you. Amen. He is God the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 says, all that belongs to my Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Well, you say, well, I'm not sure I can hear God. Well, John 10:27, guys, says this. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, listen, guys, my sheep, they know my voice. And a stranger's voice, they will not follow. As a child of God, how many of you know we can hear from God? We can train ourselves to hear from heaven. How many of you know when you pick up the Bible or you read it on your Bible app, how many of you know the Bible is God speaking to you? Amen. And you say, well, I need a sign. We don't need a sign. You go like this. Been married 14 years. Holy Spirit, it's changed. It's confusing. I got a first, you know, my first kid. There's no parenting. Come on, 101 book out there. Come on, there's 201 and 301 and 4, and there's a million of them. And it's like, what do I do? Because it's all on different people's opinions. And I would just cry out to God. It's a bit confusing. We got changed. We have a new child. God, what do I do? Come on, Mary is pregnant by the power of God. She was a virgin that's got a baby. Come on the way. Explaining that. And I'm sitting there reading these books, and I'm like, this book, it's confusing. I'm looking at my wife going, Rachel, what do we do? Come on. And so I begin to get, here's what I did with my first kid. He's now 10 years old. His name is Caleb. Here's what I did. I got quiet, and I said, Lord, I'm not looking for a sign. I'm not looking for you to do anything. I know I have the Holy Spirit. Can you help me? And I would ask him. Come on, the Bible says, I will pray to the Father. Come on, and he will send to you a helper. See, we're the doer. We're the ones that are called to pray. But the Holy Spirit, come on, he's the helper. Say it, I'm the doer, and the Holy Spirit is the helper. He's there to help you. Come on. And I would say, God, what do I do? Come on, with this and that and my son, how do I navigate that? How many of you know the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is there to help you? Come on, my sheep know my voice. As children of God, come on, you have God's nature and DNA, his Zoe, his life in you. Come on, you can train yourself to hear from heaven. Amen. So change can also be awkward. Let's speak about that for a minute. If it wasn't awkward, it's probably not change. How many of you know Joseph is engaged here in Luke 2 and his fiance shows up pregnant? Think about this. And things are not going the way that Joseph planned. How many of you know Joseph had a different plan? And can you imagine the comments? Hey, Joseph, your boy Jesus, he doesn't look anything like you. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on, we're not the only ones that have those thoughts. You know, there's thoughts. And how many know change can be awkward? Change can feel like, has anybody ever seen the movie Better Off Dead? And Better Off Dead, it's a movie in the 80s, and there's a guy by the name of Lane Meyer. And how many know Lane Meyer was dating, had a 6 month or so dating relationship going on, and he's in high school, and he's a skier. So he gets up in the morning with his socks on. Because when he met the young lady, he was superstitious, so he had those same socks on when he met her. So his thing was, and I'm going to keep my socks on. So he would get out of the bed, and in the movie, he gets into the shower with his socks on. How many of you know it's awkward? Come on, change can be a little awkward. Sometimes it feels like you're getting in the shower with your socks on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. And how many of you know change can be challenging? You know, Joseph is to take Mary and his wife, and you don't see a big wedding with Joseph and Mary. When you see it, you read the context of the Bible. Come on, in our life, in our generation, what do we see? The big wedding. Ladies, what are we planning for? We're guys, we're planning for the big wedding. Come on. Maybe some of you, you're just like, whatever, I see the eye roll. But you know, like Rachel and I got married, come on, I could see the stars in her eyes. It's like the planning. You know, let's plan this thing. How many of you know change can be challenging? And so, you know, we generally envision when change is going on, what do we do? It's awkward, it's challenging, but what do we do? Come on, we generally take the easiest path. It's true. Come on, stay with me this morning. We're gonna wrap here in a minute. But we generally take what? The easiest path. It's easy. Come on. I work and paint with my father from time to time, and here's what we do. I get into these buildings, and he's been a builder and a contractor, and I'll get in, and so I'm learning. How many of you know there's a change going on? I'm learning how to paint. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm like, I just want to get the job done fast. So you know what I'm doing? I'm terrible at painting ceilings, y'all. Don't ask me to come to your house and cut in, come on, the top around the ceiling, because my hand's just too shaky for that. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, trying to navigate what? This change. It's challenging. And I'm just being practical this morning, because how many of you know you can get over fear of something as simple as that? Come on, when you're a new guy on the job and you cut the board wrong, I'm afraid what? That my boss is gonna scream at me and I'm gonna get fired. And then you begin to think that way and talk that way. How many know that's not the direction we need to go? We need to what? Fear not. Amen. And so I'm cutting in and I'm getting paint all over the ceiling when it's supposed to be on the wall, right? How many know that that's not a good thing? Amen. So change can be challenging. But in that path of painting, you know what I did? I wanted to take the easiest path because my hand was hurting. I was kind of tired of painting. We've been doing this for hours. And I'm like, instead of taking my time, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get in a hurry and I'm just going to start painting fast, right? And how many of you know that's the reason why? Because I didn't listen. Come on. There was instruction, but I wasn't listening, right? Because I just wanted to get done. I was tired of this. I wanted to move on. Come on. Change is awkward. Change is challenging. Change can be uncomfortable. Do you know that Mary was pregnant at the time of the census? How many of you know there was a census that went out and they were ordered to go to their hometown, right? And how many of you know that just in a practical way, I'm going to put it like this, that Joseph and Mary, and she's riding what? On a donkey. They're traveling on camels and donkeys, you know, horses, whatnot. They're in moving back to their town. She's pregnant. Think about that for a second, being pregnant. My wife is pregnant with our first child. I could tell you how quickly irritability comes in. But then there's a change. Amen. And so here's Mary and Joseph traveling back, and they made their reservations what? At the Holiday Inn Express. And how many of you know the reservations, according to the Bible, got canceled? There were no rooms for them at the inn. There's no rooms in the Holiday Inn Express. Come on. Howard Johnson's was filled. Come on. So what happened? They went to a manger and had the baby in the manger. How many of you know that change can be uncomfortable? Having a baby in a manger with straw and animals and stuff on the ground that smells. How many of you know that's not the ideal conditions for a pregnant Mary to be having a baby? But what do you see Mary do? Mary presses through, even though the circumstances, even though everything is not perfect. There's an opportunity. Us in this generation would think, we're having a baby. It's not sanitary. It's gross. Come on, some of you nurses or doctors, you're thinking right now of all the how unsanitary the whole situation is. But how many of you know Jesus turned out okay? Did he turn out okay? Amen. Was he born in a manger? He was. Amen. So change can also be painful. Change can be painful. And this is where we're going to move along. You say, well, I get the awkwardness and the challenging and the uncomfortable and painful. The reason why I'm kind of taking my time through this is because a lot of times we're navigating life and there is change, and you could navigate change. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you can navigate change through the pain, through the comfort and the discomfort. Come on, one day you have comfort, the next day it's not comfortable. It's discomfort. Come on, I want the Holiday Inn Express. I'm having a baby in a manger. This is a little bit awkward. Come on, I'm yielding to God. He tells me I'm going to carry the Son of God. I'm okay with that now, but I have some questions. Come on, that's awkward. But how many know, again, Mary and Joseph pressed through? See, the wise men, when they brought their gifts, how many know that King Herod made a decree for the kids who were 2 years and younger, come on, to be murdered, to be taken out? Why? Because when the wise men came looking for Jesus, the Son of God, in context to Matthew, which we're going to read, what do we see here? Herod became upset because he's hearing about a king. And he's going, I am king. Who is this king you're talking about, wise men, the Magi? How many of you know he sent out a message? And that's exactly what happened. And how many of you know that even though change can be inconvenient, and it's in life, it's not easy, but an angel shows up to warn what? Mary and Joseph, and says, hey, here's what I need you to do. I need you to flee where you're at because Herod has put out a decree. And if you don't flee and go to Egypt, here's what's going to happen. The baby will die. So I need you to move. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? And so in Matthew chapter 2, we see this in verse 7. It says, then when Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. How many of you know Herod was not coming to worship, come on, Jesus? He wasn't coming to celebrate the newborn birth of the Son of God. Come on. He was not coming. He had a motive. How many of you know that you're going to have people show up in your life that aren't going to have your heart? Come on. They're going to show up in your life with a motive. And the motive is not for your benefit. It is for their gain and not yours. How many know you have the Holy Spirit, just like Herod came to do wicked and to do evil? How many know the Holy Spirit will warn you, just like he sent an angel to Mary and Joseph and said, get out of this country, flee into Egypt. How many know the Holy Spirit will warn you, Simon? He'll tell you, hey, this is what's coming. This isn't healthy. Come on, I want to show you so you can be prepared. I need you to flee. I need you to relocate. I need you to move. Some of you right now are in this position right now where you got change going on and you're going, God, what do I do? Come on, you don't have to fleece God. You don't have to throw out a sign. If I do this, God, you pray this way. If I do this, and I'll believe it if you do this. No, you can say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your assistance. Come on, I'm praying in faith. The Bible says when I pray in faith, come on, you hear me, and I'm going to receive from you. That's the Bible. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Verse 22 says what? Have faith in God, right? So when we pray, we know that God hears us, and he's going to move. And so as we read in verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east, it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened up their treasures and presented him gifts and gold of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country and by another route. How many know God not only warned Mary and Joseph, but he warned the wise men? He said, listen. Come on, the wise men in context came into town looking for Jesus, but they went to Herod first, and he said, who is this king? And he put out a decree. So not only did God warn Mary and Joseph, he warned the Magi, the wise men, to say, hey, don't go back to Herod's house. He has a wrong motive. Some of us in our heart right now, come on, I don't want to change. They're my best friends. These are my people. Come on, this is where I'm at. This is my family. And God is speaking to us in our heart. Come on, this is my job. I don't want to change. And it is awkward, and it is challenging, and there is discomfort. But God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you, trying to lead you, come on, into a better direction, into prosperity. How many of God is going to lead you into prosperity? He's going to lead you into health. He's going to lead you in the right path. He's not going to send you down a dark path, come on, and not himself shine the light on the path so you can see. And there may be times in life where you're navigating change. Fear not. It may be, I've been married 14 years. Maybe in your marriage, you're going through some tough times. Maybe in your dating relationship, you hit your second or third year and you're still challenging the idea of, do I want to be married? Fear not. Ask God. Get his wisdom. Get his revelation. Get in the Word. Find out what God is saying. Come on, the Bible is God speaking to me. Amen. And so they escaped to Egypt. Verse 13, when they had gone and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, he said, get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I what? Tell you. Some of us have been given instruction. Come on. And you're like, this change is so awkward, uncomfortable. I don't want to stay here. Can I just get a hand raise on that? I don't like this college. I don't like this community. I don't like this church. Come on, I don't like my job, but this is where I feel like I'm supposed to be. This is where God's come, but it's challenging. It's awkward. Come on, in my body, it makes me feel uncomfortable. But in my heart, come on, in the real, come on, I'm a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Come on, spirit, soul, and body. The real me is what? Spirit. Come on, the Bible says that they that worship him worship God in what? Spirit and in truth. The real me is spirit. I have a soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and I live in this body, but the Bible says we're to be led by the Spirit, by the Word of God, so that when your mind, your will, and your emotions are all awkward and feeling challenged and your body's going, I'm out of here. This feels uncomfortable. You can know on the inside, even though you feel discomfort, that the Holy Spirit of God is leading me and guiding me into all truth, showing me things that I need to know, even though this is very awkward. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Verse 14 says this. It says, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And how many of you know Herod ended up passing away? And how many of you know that his son came up and took the lead right behind him? So here you have right here, and it says, so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Verse 16 says this, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men or by the magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under in accordance with what the timeline he had learned from the Magi. Let me say it again, change can be painful. And I've said this in closing today, that James 1:2 says this, count it pure joy. Count it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops assurance. Come on, you may be tested in this season of change, but fear not. Stay put. If God is telling you to stay put, if he's telling you to move forward, then advance forward. Come on, there's times in the natural you'll look at and say, I'm just going to stay here. It's comfortable. This is my routine. And God's going, no, I want to grow you. I want to mature you. Come on, you're praying to God going, how's my family going to grow? God, I'm trying to reach my kids and they're listening to me. But the thing is how can they listen to you when we don't even listen to God ourselves? And we're trying to instruct our kid that is on addiction how to get out of addiction. And we're operating off of natural reasoning when it needs the power of God on the situation to help your friend and your family member get free of addiction. Come on, God puts his super on your natural. We are supernatural people. We do our part. The Holy Spirit comes along and he does his part. And so you're not just operating off your stories. You're getting in the Word and the Holy Spirit says, I know this is awkward. I know this has changed. I know this is how you used to do it. But this is how I need you to do this situation right here. This is when change feels awkward, but it's what God wants. And then you see spiritual growth from it. You grow spiritually. Come on, your faith grows and you see God move and you begin to see God go, come on, he's clapping for you going, come on, I got you. I'm not going to let you fall. Come on. So here's the thing. Change is an opportunity for growth or it's an obstacle to stop me. Let me say it again. This change is an opportunity for growth or an obstacle to stop me. See, change can be the greatest thing that ever happened to us. Come on, guys. I'm just being practical this morning. I can get deep. Come on, we can chew on some steak, but I like this hanging sometimes out in the milk because sometimes when you get a hold of the milk, we can just move on over into the meat because it's like, okay, aha, I got that. And the Bible talks about the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. And a lot of times, this is what's going on and God's wanting to move you over into meat, but he wants you to shore up your foundation. Come on. The milk of the Word. He wants you having a strong foundation. A lot of times you'll see the church, God leading teachers to go back and teach basic foundational principles. Why? It's because we've walked away from some of the basic foundational teachings. Come on. It's awkward. It's been challenging. How do we fix these numbers? How do we do this? How do we grow this business? Come on. Don't just use your natural mind and your natural way of thinking. Take that. Say, God, this is what I think we need to do here, but what do you have to say about that? Amen. Allow that growth. Don't allow change to be, come on. Does anybody remember, oh, brother, where art thou? How many know in there he says the word obstacle? You don't want change to be an obstacle. Do you hear what I'm saying? So godly change always leads to, Ian, if you're coming up, godly change always leads to blessing, advancement, growth, and abundance. Godly change, advancement, growth, abundance. Grab those words, growth, abundance, advancement. Do you hear what I'm saying? This isn't a cute message this morning. We're just like, oh, okay, hurry up, Pastor. I got a stew in the oven. We're getting there. I like to eat too, as you can see. But here's the thing we need to grab. Come on, we need to grab. Don't allow this awkwardness. Don't allow fear to creep in, this fear of change. Allow the Holy Spirit to navigate the seasons of your life with you. It will, come on. He will remove the discomfort. Change can be the greatest thing. Godly change brings help. And it helps us reach our full potential and destiny. How many of you know that this life that we live, we're to impact others? The Bible says in Mark 16:15, go in all the world and preach the gospel. When you learn how to navigate change, and we're always going to learn to do that until Jesus, the Son of God, comes back again. But how many of you know you can grow in your spiritual walk and your growth with God? Come on. That you can come into somebody's life and say, hey, dude, I've navigated this awkwardness and this challenging time and this weird season of my life. What is God, and this is the question, what do you feel like God is saying to you, man? And if they're not Christians, how many of you can say that in a non-Christian way, where you don't have to slam chapters and verses down their throats? Come on, I speak scripture all the time without slapping people. I'll go into Walmart and talk to people, and they don't even know I'm a pastor, more or less a Christian. And I will just give them the word of God and help them navigate change right in the electronics department of Walmart. And you say, well, that's just weird. No, that's how God uses his people. That's the going into all the world. That's going into your campus. That's going to the teacher. Somebody in here, I know this just in my heart. You got a teacher right now. It's one of your professors that's having a difficult time right now. You just had a conversation with them this week and in previous conversations. And they cried right there with you because they don't know what to do. Help them navigate that change. The next time you go into that conversation with your instructor, come on, don't feel like you have to have all the answers, but just tell them, say, hey, can I pray with you? Come on. I'll help you navigate because I can hear from heaven the word of God. Come on, however you want to say it. But you have confidence as a son and daughter of God. Come on, we have confidence. 1 John 5:14 says this, Simon. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if he heareth us, God hears us. Come on, we have the petitions that we ask of him. Come on, but it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. Do you have confidence in God, the Holy Ghost? Come on, that he'll lead you and navigate you and guide you, show you things that are coming. Don't allow change, come on, to continue to be awkward. Holy Spirit, help me navigate this season. Help me navigate this marriage. Help me navigate this business. Help me navigate my grades. Come on, as a student. I remember being in college and being overwhelmed. And I went to school in Oklahoma. And I remember sitting in that class with thousands of students that came right out of high school into college. I had a gap. I came right out of high school and went to work. And I didn't go to college until I was about 21, 22. And so I felt like this grown adult, David. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, because I've already been on my own. I'm living life. I've experienced some things. You know what I'm saying? And I felt awkward, guys. But don't let that awkwardness keep you from receiving, come on, the revelation that is there for you. I said, though it was challenging, though it was an awkward season for me through school, I sat there and received so many things, so much revelation that has helped me in my marriage and with my kids. Come on, practical. Many pastors and leaders, we get up in pulpits and we speak and we give a lot of information. But it needs to be mixed with revelation. Come on, some of you right now are navigating seasons. Whether the message is exciting or boring, at your temper, your flow, hear the heart of what's being said. Come on, fear not. God wants to be with you. He wants to help you. See, so what do I do when change happens? Number one, I trust God and follow the Holy Spirit. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. John 14:26 and 27. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you what? Say all things. Say it louder, like you're at a football game. All things. He will teach you all things. And say this word. Say, remind me of everything. Say it out loud. Remind me of everything. So the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, will remind you of everything. Come on. This is what God the Father is saying to the Holy Spirit. He said, I have said this to you. How many know the Holy Spirit will do this very thing for you? Amen. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not what? Be afraid. Fear not. So I want to say this. Insecurity is the result of not being confident of what you put your security in. Ain't that's a good statement right there. Insecurity is the result of not being confident of what you put your security in. We need to be confident of God's ability and who He says He is. When He says, I will do this thing for you, we need to believe that He will do it. Amen. So number one, trust God and follow the Holy Spirit. Number two, handle it with courage and integrity. Stick to your morals and values. How many know Joseph had a challenge? Don't allow change in this season to make you step away, come on, from your values and your morals. How many know you can get into this attitude when change and is awkward and things in life are happening? How many know you can say this, they did me wrong. Come on, I'm going to get them back. Come on, you don't know what people has done to me, Pastor. You don't know. Come on, how many know you need to handle life with integrity? When people do you wrong, it doesn't matter what they did to you. Come on, you release those people, you learn from that season, but do what the Bible says. Love those people. Love those who persecute you, who abuse you and spitefully accuse you. In so doing, you heap coals of fire upon their head. In other words, you bring conviction. And here's the thing, the love of God, staying in that pocket of love, allowing, come on, love to be the winner. Right, Theo? Allowing love to win. How many know you can handle this change when you embrace the new journey? Run the race that is set before you, guys. Embrace the journey. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. The first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words says this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on God. Embrace the journey. How many know Lot's wife? How many know Lot? What did Lot do? Come on, the angel said, you get your family out of here and don't look back. We're going to burn this place up, Sodom and Gomorrah. How many know Lot's wife looked back and she turned into what? Pillar of salt, man. She said, I got to go back. How many know you don't have to go back? Come on, you don't have to go back. Run the race that is set before you. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, God isn't going to change on you through the seasons. He's the same. The same God that loved you. Come on, when you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth many years ago, the same God that's with you now. He doesn't change. He's not like some friends that have come into your life. Come on, some family, some parents that have come into your life, and now they're not there anymore. They've changed. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so in closing, I want to say this. A detour is not always a dead end. It's another opportunity for God to work. Come on. A detour is not a dead end. Embrace the change, the bump, and the detour. Stick to your plan and die, or follow God and live. So if you'll stand with me today.